a photography first of all, something that in a sense is so ubiquitous these days that, that in a sense I think it's very quite hard for us to kind of imagine quite how extraordinary the medium photography is, what it is and what it does. But one way of trying to do that is to think back to what it must have been like in 1839, 1840, 1841, to be some of the first humans to actually ever see what the world looked like in a photograph. Most people had never ever seen, for instance, the Alps or the Holy Land. They'd sort of read about it in kind of stories and maybe seen it in pictures, but to actually be able to go to sort of exhibitions in London and salons in London and see the world in a photograph, it's extraordinary. But it's hard to capture that. But as a photographer, that's one of the things that one tries to do, is to try and hold on to that wonder. The extraordinary nature of what happens when a camera obscura, a lens, the sort of physics of optics, and the chemistry of kind of emulsions sort of captures an image, and to try and hold on to that. So that's one of the things that I'm absolutely always trying to do. And of course, photography is an extraordinary, wonderful medium because our medium really is light. You know, painter paints and sculptors have rocks and materials. Ours is light, the most extraordinary thing. You know, light, what is it? And one of the great opportunities I felt in my life is to actually be a landscape photographer in the southwest of England because of the weather systems and the patterns, the endless sort of shifting and nuances and wonder of this minute-by-minute shift and change. So photography gives us a way to begin to sort of explore, you know, what the world looks like in all that sort of fascinating complexity. So every time I make an exposure, it's an experiment. I've got no idea what quite is going to happen. And so that sense of sort of testing and wondering, and it's why I suppose sort of digital cameras are so addictive, because if you think about how people behave with a digital camera, they look. It's that fascination, feedback, wanting to sort of get feedback. I'm used to working for the last sort of 20, 25 years with a large, big webcam, which takes pictures, you know, yo big, where I might go out for a walk and expose two or three pictures in a day. All this work is done with a digital camera, and you know, maybe we'll come back to that in a moment. So the wonder of what the medium of photography is something that I've had the pleasure of exploring for 50 years, and hopefully for a lot more. As a landscape photographer, I'm fascinated by what landscape is, and if you're an academic and you want to think about what landscape is, there are endless books about what we mean by landscape, but I just want to very quickly sort of summarize one idea around landscape, and that is that effectively it's a very modern idea. And not only that, but actually it's an urban concept. Humans began to think of the idea of the world as landscapes once they've effectively lost that. They moved into an urban kind of space, urban kind of culture, and we see landscape paintings beginning to emerge in Europe in the sort of 17th century. You look at the Vermeer interior, there'll be paintings on the wall. They weren't there 1500 years before. So basically, landscape as a genre was something that was created to pictorially represent that which had been lost by an urban kind of middle class kind of elite. It's a construction, and it's a physical construction as well as a conceptual construction. So the physical construction is to do with an understanding of the world around us through the processes, you know, how a place becomes how it is through geology and weather and systems, and then also through human geography, how we in a sense, sort of, you know, apply our sort of our workings. A rather wonderful example of, you know, human geography out the window here, the gardens and landscapes of Kestrel Park. So the construct of what I do, and what the landscape photographers do, is to try and understand that more about what's going on. We make pictures to try and sort of investigate the history of what makes a place a place. But landscape, predominantly, as well as being a kind of domestic, it's actually a thing. It's a thing of our minds, a thing of our imaginations. And from the earliest sort of time in history, people, humans, have told stories to one another about the world, and have created sort of imaginative constructs about sort of, you know, what the world is and how it is and how we understand it. And we're great storytellers, and we love telling stories. And so through science and through narrative and autobiography. There's a little bookcase over there, which is very much part of the show, in which is a very eclectic range of books that deal with this process of storytelling. Ornithologists and writers and so on just talking about the world and trying to sort of take us on a journey. And we all learn from the very earliest, you know, some of the first images we ever see in children's books of pictures of landscapes, farms and so on. And we build up our knowledge of the world through this sort of domestic, as they say, landscapes are predominantly things we experience from sitting down on chairs, watching television, looking at books and so on and so forth. So my work for the last 30 years has been about 50 years, getting on, the wonder of the medium, and then investigating the sort of narratives, the stories around sort of how we construct ideas about landscapes and our imagination. So these two books here, which are also in the bookshelves over there, this was done on with a big plate camera to give you an idea. So that's the sort of size of the pictures that I'm making. This is a book about what is winter. So I photographed, to answer that question, what is winter? I photographed a winter by just photographing right the way through the passage of a winter. And I found this wonderful quote from my brain's gone. But anyway, it's in the catalogue, if you want to sort of find it. Edward Thomas, about the passage of a winter, something we can never experience. Two rooks in a tree watching the passage of a winter. And so that's the narrative of this one. And this one, which is a Cornish book, so I'm going to do a little bit of push on this one, if that's okay. This is my latest book, it's called The Moth. And this is a follow-up to a book called The Red River. And what I'm trying to do here, these pictures made almost predominantly in the mining districts of Cornwall, is to try and imagine what it would be like if one was somebody who came from Cornwall, a miner who'd left to go overseas to mine, like many of the Cornish miners did, and to try and think back to what the memories of home would be like to somebody who left Cornwall 30, 40 years ago. And so this is a book of pictures which try to, in a sense, get into the sort of momentary imagination of how one remembers one's home. So those are the kinds of sort of construct that I've been working on. But this show is, and the one that, I've nearly finished, the one that was in Plymouth, is me setting off in a tiny new direction. So partly with a totally different piece of technology. All these pictures are taken on a small, compact Sony camera with a single lens, a 55mm standard lens. And they're about the very simple process of just going out the door one day and going for a walk and looking across what one sees, what one confronts. And I've been doing this for about 5 or 6 years now, and there's a whole series of pathways opening up in front of me. And this is a very sort of early sort of iteration of, I've got no idea where this is going, basically. I just know that I'm incredibly excited to go out of the camera to be able to make this picture. These pictures. But I might just now, just with your patience, just talk very briefly about some of the thoughts that have been sort of leading me forward. One thing about these pictures, and I suppose that picture at the end there, or this little picture here, are sort of exciting for me, because although I'm a big fan, like most of us, of somebody like David Attenborough, we are totally and utterly ruined, spoilt, silly, by the extraordinary wizardry that we can sort of experience on our television screens or in magazines, brought to us by these cameramen and photographers who go to the ultimate sort of patience and wait for climb mountains and wait so that you can see. I remember once having a chat with somebody or other, and we were talking about a film, an Attenborough film, where we'd actually sort of seen, you could see the frost on the eyelash of an elk, you know, it was that close. And this guy had been to sort of Alaska, and he said, if you see an elk, if you're lucky enough to see an elk, it will be like if we were looking out there, you know, a mile and a half away on the hill, a little black fuzzy mark going over the top of the hill. So we're completely spoiled. And these two pictures, this is a great tit flying across a field in Devon. And it does, you know, we can never see that, because that's a still photograph, you know, this thing. But it's just an extraordinary moment. It's flying between its nest and somewhere else to find another twig. And the picture on there, it's a buzzard. It's a huge rainstorm. And just whipping past this weird oak tree that has been sort of dismembered. And this buzzard flapped up. Absolutely nothing. These pictures are about almost nothing, but they're about just standing in the world of what you can see if you're just there.
The rain thing, well, comes back to light, doesn't it? I mean, I spent 5 or 6 years very fortunate living in the west of Cornwall and experienced quite often those damp, wet conditions. And I really love that those are some of the most wonderful conditions to make photographs in, because the moisture in the atmosphere refracts light and gives you this extraordinary rich sort of softness. So I love going out in rain and making pictures which try to sort of I'm creating something called a rain index. So I'm going to spend years and years and years. Has anybody read a book by Alexandra Harris called Weatherland? Fabulous book. So she's looked at the history of the artist's imagination through painting and writing in Britain over the last sort of 700 or 800 years. And so it's about our fascination with rain. My father was a very keen ornithologist, with birds everywhere. These are some, 2 years ago I went with a school friend to visit a whole series of gannet colonies, breeding colonies around Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and England, and these are just some of the pictures from that. So there are rain pictures, there are bird pictures, there are spring pictures. One of them that just talked finally. So this one of my, for the last 25 years, we've been going on holiday on and off to either Cornwall or the Isle of Wight, and I've just totally fallen in love with thrift, the plant thrift. Most extraordinary plant. And you know, it's in so many postcards, isn't it? This little sort of pink sort of blob on a cliff. And I call them the last plant in England because they're the plant that hangs on. If you've ever tried to dig up a chunk of thrift, which you wouldn't recommend, almost impossible. They have the most extraordinary, powerful, tenuous root system that digs in to the ground. You've got this exquisite little sort of seed head bopping around in the wind. Well, not only that, every single sort of stem, I'm getting slightly kind of emotional here because I just love these things. Every single little stem, I was saying to Jenny, which is talking to my wife, what's your favourite plant? And I think it's thrift, but I can't stand domesticated thrift. What's so wonderful about these is, if you look at the thrift, these wiry stems, every single little stem has its own movement. And it's in that way, because the plant's been blown in the wind in a certain kind of way, this each little one is a response to the conditions. It's sharing the space with a little group of sort of brothers and sisters or whatever. And you know, they are what they are. It's a bit like a human face, a wizened face, the history of the plant growing. So it's attention, really. It's just, I use photography to try and increase the way that I pay attention to the world and hopefully draw you into the wonder of that and photography and life. Thank you very much. Sorry if I've gone on a bit.
I think it's the first one.